And as we do every year, you'll hear in just a minute that I was not aware of this until, but as we do every year, I will be preaching with one of our seniors today. Seth truly needs no introduction to you, but this is Seth Banks. Most of you are probably used to seeing Seth somewhere over here behind the soundboard, making sure that things are running smoothly during services. But today, Seth gets the opportunity to be up here, up front, and to be in front of you to deliver a word from the Lord to you this morning. And let me just tell you, this is a day that Seth has been excited about for a very long time. Like I said earlier, my family moved here in July of 2025, and I think it was August that Seth came to me and said, "Can I preach with you on Senior Sunday?" And I said, Seth tells me, I don't remember this exactly, but Seth tells me that my response was something along the lines of, "We do that here?" And so I was still getting used to everything that we do here at Park Avenue and figuring out exactly all the different things that we do here. But Seth explained to me exactly what Senior Sunday usually looks like, and I responded with, "Of course, I would love to do that. I know that would be an honor for me and a privilege for him to get to be up here in front of you." And again, what I didn't know at the time was just how excited Seth really was. He asked me in August if we could preach together, and he asked me probably in September if we could start planning it. And so my response was, "Dude, we have like 5 or 6 or 7 months left. Let's do a lot of praying about this first, and then we'll... And then we'll figure out what we want to talk about and go from there." But the reason I said that, the reason I said let's do some praying about this first, is because I wanted Seth specifically to do a lot of praying and spend a lot of time with the Lord figuring out what was on his heart for this morning. And so what you're going to hear this morning is in large part from Seth. We worked on it together. We put it together as a team. But in large part, Seth picked the topic, and this is what has been on his heart over the last several months. The title for our sermon this morning is Surrender the Script, and where we're going with this is that each of us has a story to tell, and that story is our lives, right? That you look at all movies, all plays, all great stories, they all start with a great script and a great author. And what each of us has to understand, and what we are hoping to help you understand this morning, is that with God as the author of our lives, that everything is going to work out exactly how he plans it. One of the hardest things for us to do as human beings, as people, is to surrender control, to let go of control and stop trying to control every aspect of our lives and just trust that God is in control. And so that's what we are going to be looking at this morning. And so we're going to be looking at three different passages, one in the book of Proverbs, one in the book of Psalms, and then Seth is going to break down Jeremiah 29:11 for us towards the end. But before we get into that, we wanted to start on a little more of a personal note, and I wanted Seth to share with you guys just why this topic has been on his heart this morning and what parts of his story this comes from.
It's really great to just get this opportunity to be up here today with Sam. As he said, we've been working on this for a couple months, and I've been bothering him about it for double that. Just a little bit of background about me really quickly. I'm Seth Banks. I'm the third youngest of Justin and Leslie Banks, and I'll be attending Texas A&M Commerce to major in cybersecurity in the fall. And I've been like raised here in Park Avenue. And my parents especially have always been really great at making sure I'm always here and I'm very active in the church. And so throughout my life, I've just always felt the love that this church gives. And then like Sam said, I've been working behind our AV board for the past couple of years. And then as I've really been approaching this new stage of my life, I've really had a lot of twists and turns while trying to figure out exactly what God wants me to do with my life. And so for a lot of you who know me, it was my intention to join the U.S. Marine Corps, and I was an applicant into the U.S. Naval Academy. And then for those of you who know me, I am very, very good at injuring my knee. And so for years, I kept trying to push through it and telling myself I can deal with it, suck it up, I can still go Marines. And then especially this year in tennis, a lot of my close friends saw just the amount of pain I was going through, sometimes to the point where I couldn't walk or stand up on my own. And so eventually I really had to accept that I couldn't, my body couldn't handle being a Marine. And so my parents really began pushing me to go to Houston Christian University, where I had received a full ride for cybersecurity. And then there was a problem with it that I just really didn't feel was handled right by their admissions team. And so we began looking at my second choice, A&M Commerce. And we got a tour there, and now I'm committed there. I love the campus, and I just love that community there. But like looking back on it now, I really see just how God opened and closed so many doors in my life, getting me where he wanted me to go. Like he put an obstacle of my knee in my path so that I couldn't go in the Marine Corps. He opened and closed a door to Houston Christian University, and then he opened the door to A&M Commerce. And so for a really long time, I just really couldn't accept that what I wanted to do wasn't the same as what God had wanted me to do. And just letting this idea of letting God take the wheel and write the story of my life is one that I did not get for the longest time. But eventually, as the title says, I had to learn to surrender the script of my life to see where he wanted to lead me.
Again, I just wanted you to hear that this morning as we start so that you could understand where this is coming from. That Seth has been through a lot over the last 5 or 6 months or even longer than that, just trying to figure out what his next step is going to be. And over that, over our time planning this, Seth just, he made it clear to me that, hey, this, like, I've just had to learn to trust God. I've just had to learn to trust God more. And I was like, well, let's talk about that then. So that's what we're doing. We're going to start this morning with some words of wisdom from Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. If you were to Google right now top 10 most popular verses in the Bible, you would see somewhere on that list, or you would most likely see somewhere on that list, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, or at least verse 5. And so we know that it's a verse that's often used to reference the act of trusting God. However, what's beautiful about these two verses and what Seth and I wanted to focus on this morning out of these two verses is that in these two verses alone, we receive both a command and a promise. And so we're going to look at the command and the promise this morning, but Seth is going to read these two verses for us.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. He will make your path straight." So this verse is first and foremost a command, like Sam said, for each of us to fully trust God, not on our own understanding. And a lot of times we feel like we're already doing this, but we find these little shortcuts that we think are innocent. But in reality, all we're doing is trusting our own self-sufficiency over what God has told us and revealed to us and putting our trust into him. Just a great example of this in the Old Testament was King Saul. When the Israelites attacked the Amalekites, God had ordered King Saul to kill everyone. But instead of doing that, Saul disobeyed and spared the king as well as his best livestock. And so Saul did this for a noble reason. He did it for the best of the nation, but it wasn't what God had ordered him to do. And so a lot of times, like, we're all guilty of this sort of partial obedience where we know what God has told us to do, but we find this little shortcut saying, well, this is just as good as what God told me. And so really in the story of King Saul, like, I believe it's not as much as Saul's actions or his intent that was what God was displeased with, but it's this partial trust and partial obedience that he showed rather than this level of trust here in Proverbs that was what God was displeased with.
And so the command portion of this verse is simple, or at least it seems to be just from reading it, right? But how hard can it be for each of us just to do that, just to trust God completely with all aspects of our lives? But this command, like I said in just a minute ago, it's not made in haste. It's not made with nothing to come of it. This command is followed by a beautiful promise, as we often see in Scripture, a command followed by a promise. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. And we're going to focus on that portion. He will make your paths straight for just a few minutes. So often we hear this or we read this, and we think that this is a promise that if we just trust in God, that everything's going to be great, that life is going to work out perfect, and that everything's going to go everything's going to go our way. But this is not a promise of an easy life. This is a promise that when we submit to God and trust him with all aspects of our lives, he becomes the author and the director of our steps, that he becomes our guide. Life may not always be easy. We know that. Things may not always go our way. Life's not going to be perfect. There's going to be bumps in the road. We're all going to fall short. But we know that when these bumps happen, because of this promise, all is well. Because God is still in control and God is still making our paths straight. Again, like I said, multiple times in Scripture, we see where God makes a promise to his people. With Noah at the end of the flood, God sent a rainbow as a sign of his promise to not flood the earth again. With Abraham, God promised to bless the world through his descendants and to make him the father of many nations. With David, God promised to establish an eternal kingdom. And the greatest promise of all, the promise that we are all living in this morning, is the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. Each of these promises, God has kept, because God is good and God keeps all of his promises because his promises are good and he's faithful to his people. So we can trust that his promise to each of us here in Proverbs 3 will be kept as well.
And so there's a couple key takeaways that we really see in these verses. The first is really we have to trust God completely and not partially. And so it's not that half-hearted trust that Saul showed. We need to surrender every area of our life. Our plans, our fears, our future, every aspect of our life needs to be given to God, because not only does he desire it, but he deserves our dependence on him. And then the next thing that we really see is that we can't rely solely on our own human understanding, because as humans, our perspective is very limited, biased, short-sighted, and very emotional. And so we can't see the whole picture ourselves, but thankfully we serve this great God who does see the whole picture and who does know everything and has perfect clarity. And so we have to be able to trust that God over our own limited instincts.
And so we see two more takeaways here in Proverbs 3, and the third is to acknowledge God in all areas. We've said this, to acknowledge God in all aspects of our lives, but this means inviting God into every decision. Right, that following God was never meant to be a Sunday or Wednesday only thing. It was always meant to be a daily and moment by moment relationship, that we invite God into every moment of our lives. And the fourth is the promise, that God promises direction. We know that, again, straight paths does not mean easy paths, right? But it does mean guided, purposeful, aligned with God's will, directed. And whenever we trust and submit to him, he removes confusion, and he leads us where he wants us to go, where we need to go. And so again, we just saw in Proverbs 3 that straight paths does not mean easy paths. We know that in this life, we're going to have troubles and uncertainties. We're going to have difficulties. And some of us this morning might be living in the middle of those uncertainties and difficulties. But we see in Psalm 37, our next passage this morning, that our God does not just make our paths straight, but he upholds us when we face trials and difficulties. So let's look at Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. There's four key themes that we wanted to explore out of Psalm 37 this morning. And we see two of them in verse 23, and then we see the other two in verse 24, and Seth will give you those. But the first one that we see is divine guidance. Out of verse 23. And this is a comfort to believers, or it should be a comfort to believers, that God establishes or orders the steps of those who find delight in him. But what does that mean? What does it really mean to delight in God? We have to understand that first. Well, I think it means to find joy, to find satisfaction, and to find pleasure in your relationship with him and not in the things of this world. This looks like aligning ourselves with his desires, trusting in his character, believing that he is who he says he is, and trusting in the goodness of God above all else. And then we see a little bit more of an underlying theme of divine approval, that God takes pleasure in the journey of the righteous person. And this, again, should provide comfort to us as believers, because it suggests a close, a caring, and a personal relationship with a God who watches over us and cares for us and guides us and lifts us up.
So the next theme that we really see in verse 24 is this idea of protection even through our failure. In this life, we're all going to stumble, we're all going to fail. But we have this comfort that we have a God who doesn't cast us aside, but he, what he does is he just catches us and lifts us back up. And then we see another more underlying theme in verse 24 about God's hold and his grip on our lives, and that it's constant and it's never going to fail on us. And so as believers, we can find this great comfort that our great and loving God not only doesn't cast us aside when we fail, but catches us, lifts us, and then holds our hand and provides us stability, even when we can't stand up on our own. And then, as Sam said earlier, one of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. It's on the back of my letterman, it's on my board out in the atrium, and this has been such this great encouragement to me for the past couple years while I've really been trying to figure out where God wants me to go. And what it says is, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and a hope." So in this verse, the prophet Jeremiah is presenting a prophecy of encouragement to the people of Judah who were in the 70-year exile. And so Jeremiah is saying that even though it feels as though the Lord abandoned and left them in exile, he hadn't forgotten them and he had a greater plan for them, although it'd be a very long time before they got to see it. And so there's a lot of different things that really stuck out to me in this section, but one of the big ones that really just got me was just how long they were kept in exile. Like, it was a 70-year-long exile, and it just really opened my eyes to how long-term God's plans for us can be. A lot of times, especially this year, I've been, like, rushing my faith because I compare myself to some of the people I look up to spiritually, like my dad or my older brother, and I feel like I'm not able to be used by God, that I'm not as good as they are. But it's not, like, one, it's not just right now that God can use me. And he does still use me. He used me behind the soundboard for 3 years, and he put me up here. And so it's not just while I'm here, but also it could be later in my life that he plans to use me for whatever his greater purpose is. And so it just took a really long time for me to realize that. And like, what I really had to learn was, if I stay on this path, if I keep pushing to learn as much as I can and I stay following him, then he's going to put me in those places. And it may not be for another 50 years that I see it. And I may not even see the end result of what I do. But as long as I stay on this path of righteousness, I have this comfort that God is going to use me however he sees fit. And then a lot of us, we're all going to feel like we're in exile at some point and that the Lord has abandoned us. But we really have to realize that it's not ever abandonment. He's never going to truly abandon us, but he's going to use this feeling and the struggle to reveal himself to us. Like in the story of Job had lost everything that he had, and he still remained faithful. And God used that pain to reveal two things. One, our need for him, and that we need to have him in our lives. Otherwise, we are truly lost. And then he also just uses it to reveal his true glory to us. And so we always have to remember that we're never going to truly be abandoned by God. He's always using the pain and the struggle for something greater in his own plans. And then something with this verse, in some translations, it's going to say plans to prosper you rather than plans for good. And it's pretty easy to misinterpret this. It doesn't necessarily mean that God's plan for us is to prosper on earth or to have some sort of great wealth or to have some great life here on earth. What he means is that we're going to prosper in the bigger picture and that we're going to prosper in eternity with him. And so in Matthew 4:18-20, it talks about how the disciples had to leave everything about their life behind. And then throughout the time that they were with Jesus, they all lived in poverty. And so as Christ followers, we're not guaranteed a prosperous life, but we are guaranteed that we're going to prosper eternally with him. And so after looking at these three verses, we really have to look at what this means for us and how to really apply it to our lives. And so the first thing that we really have to do is we have to stop trying to control the outcome. And so we can't just say that we trust God. We all feel this control, like this need for control on how our own story plays out. But that's not what we do, because God can't direct a life, and he can't write your story if you're still holding on to the pen. And so, like, trust, what it means is that we're releasing the need to have it all mapped out. And surrender just means that we're letting God write the parts of our story that we don't understand. And so God's direction requires our complete submission, not our agreement. And then the next thing that we see is that we have to trust God with the steps that we can't see. Like, all of us seniors, we're stepping into a new season of unknowns. And then a lot of you who have been out of high school for some time still face something new every day. And so God doesn't show us the whole path, but like we see in some of the verses, God, he orders our steps. And so just because we're going to stumble, we're not abandoned, because he is still guiding us and ordering our steps. And so our faith doesn't mean that we have clarity. It means that we have confidence in our greater God, who does have that perfect clarity. And so then the last thing that we really have to see and accept is that we have to believe that God's plan is just better than ours. Like, God's plan for our lives includes purpose, and even in all the detours. And so his version of our life that he writes whenever we let go of that pen is going to look infinitely different than ours. It's going to have more purpose, and it's going to be much more fulfilling. And so surrender doesn't mean that we're losing our story. It means that we're trading it for a better one that's going to go on eternally with him in heaven.
Again, like I said at the beginning, this is what has been on Seth's heart. You can hear the passion in his voice this morning. Yeah, this is something that he has been thinking about and praying about for a very long time. And so, Seth, I want to thank you for the time that you have poured in and the time that you have spent in the Word of God preparing for this morning. Whether you are graduating in a couple of weeks, starting over in some way, stuck in the middle of a rut or a valley that the scripture tells us that we're going to go through at times, or you're just wondering what comes next for you, this is not a message for just seniors today. It's a call for all of us as believers, right? A call to trust God more. Some of us are holding onto the pen, as Seth said, we're holding onto the pen so tightly because we're afraid of how the story might go if we surrender control and let go of control and give it over to God. Some of us are frustrated because life hasn't turned out the way that we planned up to this point. And some of us know exactly what God is asking us to surrender, but we've been hesitant to let it go. But God is not asking you to figure everything out. He's asking for your trust. He's asking you to follow him step by step, and he's asking you to believe that his plan is better than anything you could plan for yourself. And so today, no matter your age or what stage of life you might be in, the invitation for all of us is simple. The calling is simple. It's time for us to loosen the grip. It's time for us to trust the author of our lives, and it's time for us to surrender the script. The song that we're about to sing this morning is Living Hope by Phil Wickham. There's a line in this song that stuck out to me a few days ago, and it says, "The end is written." And I just thought that was so perfect to close this out. That the end is written, that is reality for all of us in here today that are following Jesus. The end of the story is indeed written, and we can have confidence in this because of the freedom and the life found only in trusting Jesus. So let's stand and let's sing about this living hope.
How great the chasm that lay between.